Well, thank you very much indeed, Mr. Bowles, and good afternoon to you all. Over the past few weeks and months, Mr. Bowles has been drawing our attention to various items of importance in his news analyses. One particular feature is that government is becoming far too intrusive into the lives of ordinary law-abiding folk. This is especially noticeable in the United Kingdom and all the English-speaking areas of the world, including the United States. And this is where people have become used to being able to do anything that was not specifically prescribed by the law of the land. We are now at a time when government is beginning to tell us that we are only allowed to do those things that the law specifically permits, all else being verboten. Above Lewes, the county town of East Sussex, which is set in the folds of the South Downs, there is, on Cliff Hill, a monument to 17 very brave and dedicated people. These people died for their beliefs. In the mid-16th century, these people fell victim to the Roman Catholic Church and to the pervading hysteria of the local population, and as a result, they were burned at the stake. What was their crime? They were adamantly opposed to the requirements of the Roman Church worship. In the England of that time, it did not pay to be out of the ordinary. All were expected to conform to the dictates of society, and society under Mary Tudor was Roman Catholic. These people faced the ultimate test of their faith. Reports of their testimony before the ecclesiastical courts showed just how well versed they were in the scriptures. And the records of their last words showed absolutely no regrets, no remorse, and no threats of vengeance or recrimination against their persecutors, very much in the fashion of the death of Stephen, as recorded in the Book of Acts. Now moving on to the 20th century, but remaining in the town of Lewes, we come to the time when the church in Brighton was being raised up. An elderly lady was appointed as deaconess. I'm referring to Mrs. Gladys Cairns. Now, I'm not sure of the date of her ordination, but certainly from the inception of the Brighton congregation in May of 1975, she was the deaconess. She was a really lovely lady who had time for everybody. It didn't matter whether they were young or whether they were old. Mrs. Cairns was born in London towards the close of the 19th century. She was the daughter of a minister in the Sardis era of the Church of God. On occasion, she would relate stories of how she and her family would be opposed by stone-throwing youths as a family made its way to Sabbath services. Now, both of these episodes that I've referred to are examples of courage in the face of persecution. Our problem today is that we have no idea when we may expect to have to run the gauntlet, facing trial, tribulation, or even persecution. The times that we are entering are far from certain. Old values and assumptions are being eroded. The new morality replacing the former codes of ethics is far from benign. Freedom of speech is dying. Freedom to demonstrate any opposition to the dictates of government is being whittled away. And freedom of association looks certain to be the next on the hit list. The proposed identity card will carry, as required information, the religion of the carrier. Of the, you know, it would be actually on the card what religion you are. And the card will remain the property of the Home Secretary. So the identity card can be withdrawn at the whim of the government of the day. As I said, times are becoming very uncertain. This is an age where the intolerable has to be tolerated, and where toleration has to be afforded to the intolerant. Now, just before the death of Moses, Joshua was given the task of leading the Israelites into the Promised Land. And Moses charged Joshua to be strong and of good courage. The children of Israel were going into a strange land, and if they obeyed God, he would protect them from every danger, and he would give them the strength that they needed. And we are in a very similar situation today. So in the time that I have, it is my intention to encourage us all to be strong and courageous. Just as Joshua and the Israelites were when they went into the Promised Land. Our Promised Land is perhaps just over the horizon, but it is nearer with every passing hour. And it behoves every Christian to look to the goal, past every obstacle, because unless you look beyond the problems and the trials that are facing us, we cannot hope to make it beyond the first hurdle. I would like you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. In this passage we read part of the instructions given by Moses to Joshua. From a reading of the accounts of the replies given by the Lewis martyrs, one has a feeling that they genuinely believed and held to these words and placed their trust in them, as we must also place our trust in the scripture. In Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 we read the following: Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, or the Eternal your God, he it is that does go before you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you. If we take our eyes off the goal, all we will see are the problems and the obstacles. Now that may sound like a simplistic statement, but keeping our sights set on the goals does require a degree of strength and courage. A realization that we are merely travellers passing through this land looking for a heavenly city will help to give us the confidence and the faith that we need. In Hebrews chapter 11 verses 13 to 16 speaks of those persecuted and martyred in earlier ages. It is not inconceivable that perhaps some of us may have to tread the steps that our forefathers trod before us, before we too are taken to a place of refuge and safety. Doing so requires a degree of faith. Indeed, it requires genuine belief in the cast iron and bankable promises of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 13, we read the following: These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Now if I could drop down to verses 36 to 39. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, and were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They were wanderers, and they wandered in the deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report, through faith, received not the promises. One thing has always puzzled me. How could normal, civilized people suddenly revert to being little more than vicious animals and become brute beasts? And last week, Mr. Bowles gave an answer. People at various times and for different reasons lack natural affection. Natural affection will not allow a neighbour to throw stones at other members of the community simply because they have a different social standing, different ethnic or religious values, let alone burn them at the stake. Because natural affection is waning, or put another way, the love of many is growing cold, in society at large, these sort of incidents could once again blight what we call civilized society. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul gives a sobering prophecy that specifically relates to the times in which we live. Now these are the last days of man's civilization under the sway of Satan. So many areas of society as we know it are resting on a knife edge. We are at the tipping point in so many fields of human endeavour. You look at the society, you see social breakdown, look at economics, crime, corruption, commerce, you name it. Society, or our endeavours, are at breaking point. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning of verse 1, we read the following words. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, and despisers of those that are good. They are traitors, they are high-minded, they are lovers of pleasures more than they are lovers of God. Anyone with eyes to see must surely recognise that the days in which we live are far from normal. Governments are becoming far more intrusive into the affairs of the common man, with many crimes being, quote, thought crimes. Those who do not conform to the dictates of society or the established hierarchy become social outcasts to be treated as enemies of the state. For an extreme example, in Iran, it is reported that Jews now have to wear yellow armbands and Christians have to wear another colour armband. I believe it's blue, but I saw that on the internet the other day. We do not know just when these things may befall us. Perhaps we will see a recurrence of stone-throwing youths taunting people because of their religious differences. Perhaps we will see a recurrence of special camps being set up to segregate people, to keep them safe, out of harm's way, and names like Balsam, Buchenwald and Grossrosen come to mind. Maybe we will even witness the public spectacle of dissidents being put to death in some pretty gruesome public spectacle. As Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun. Having said all of these things about the uncertain future, and regardless of every trial, every threat to life and liberty, we have another cast iron bankable promise, and that promise is found in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. In this verse we find a repeat of that promise that God gave to Joshua as he assumed the mantle of the leader of the children of Israel. It is a promise that should give us all the strength and courage that we will need to face this future with confidence and hope, regardless of what any man may attempt to do to us. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 we read the following. Let your conversation, or conduct that should be, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. On Cliff Hill above the town of Lewis, there is a memorial to 17 people who apparently believed just that. And they died believing it. Maybe we will be tried the same way sometime. But these words are a cast iron, bankable promise. We can look to God for our help and our strength.